When it comes to adapting for film and television, there has always been one medium of source material that has struggled to stick the landing: video games. Whether it's titles like Resident Evil, Warcraft, or Mortal Kombat, even games with the most basic of stories have failed to find success until more recent attempts. And while there have been modest successes here and there, the medium has recently taken a big step forward. Creating a series adapted from League of Legends, a video game defined in part by its lack of narrative, probably seemed like a recipe for disaster. And yet, in the short time it has been out, it has become widely celebrated. So today, on this episode of Script or Screen, we're diving headfirst into the Emmy Award-winning series, Arcane. Welcome back, boys and girls, to another wonderful edition of Script or Screen, your number one source for healthy sibling relationships, or for never playing a single game of League of Legends.
That's true.
I am one of your hosts, Christopher Kitchen. Unfortunately, Zachary, one of us has played a single game of League of Legends.
Oh, wow. Well, I've never. Listen, I wrote this like a week ago.
And listen, so I joined one of my co-hosts, Zach Strachman.
That's me. Go ahead.
It happened when I was in high school. A buddy of mine, Chris, of the same name as me.
Wow.
We were just playing games one night in like a Skype call or something. We used to be on like the same Minecraft server years ago. This is like early 2010, like 2011. Like, this is very early Minecraft. So not the new stuff that people are playing on their X switches and play boxes
and
and the like. It was very early alpha, like PC versions. And
I like how you tried to sound out of touch even though both of us have Steam Decks.
Yeah, I've sorry, waiting list. Oh god. No, but we were playing one night and he was telling me he was playing League of Legends. I'm like, you know, I've never actually played that. He's like, oh, well, download it, it's free, and you know, try it out. And I played a game or two, I think. I don't remember how I did. I just remember in the chat, everybody said, like, who the fuck is this guy? He sucks.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have never played League of Legends in my life. Everything I know about League of Legends can be boiled down to, back in the day, I saw the promo video they did for when they introduced the character of Jinx into the game. Oh. And I remember, as, like, a high schooler being like, she's kind of, like, cool, hot,
I was gonna say, choose your words carefully.
In a knockoff Harley Quinn sort of way, but I didn't play League. And then, that's it. Because I was never, I've also just never really gotten to PC gaming. I've always been a console gamer, I know. I'm a horrible, filthy casual, and I'm proud to be one.
I mean, it is.
I'm gonna ask you this, Chris. Do you have a good relationship with your sisters?
That is a loaded question, my man. I don't know if I've ever said it on podcast, but you know I'm one of seven children.
That's true.
I am the first son in a long line of family. So I have four older sisters, and I have two younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do I have a good relationship with my sisters? More or less.
That's good.
I like some better than others. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
I like to think I have a good relationship with my sister as well. I'm just one of two, small, not anywhere near your number of siblings.
Dude, I remember I was in high school and I met this kid who was one of 15.
Oh, God, fuck that.
Isn't that insane?
I ask that because, obviously, sibling relationships is a big factor in what we're talking about today. We're talking about Netflix and Fortiche's and Riot Games series Arcane, which came out about a year ago. A year ago? Yeah, about a year ago.
I would say a little less, yeah.
And it has recently, in the Emmys that just happened, like, what, a week or two ago, snagged the Emmy for Outstanding Animated Series, which I think anyone who saw it before, back when it came out and in the year since, has said, yeah, that nothing's gonna come close to this in terms of animation.
I feel like there was a point, and this happened with Squid Game as well, and Squid Game recently nominated for Emmys and everything.
Yes,
and won.
I want to talk about the Emmys a bit, but go ahead.
I was going to say, like, there was some doubt on your part, too. You're like, oh, I feel like people might forget about it. I was like, I don't know, Zach. It's very profound in the news right now. And let's just say, not to say I was right, but I'm like, Zach, I feel like, you know, you see something's good, you got to wish for the best, buddy.
That's true. You got to, you got to manifest.
Yeah, you have to manifest or manifest.
Man of action. That's what I am. And let me tell you,
the animation company.
Sure. The Emmys just happened, and we had some big winners. We had some snubs. Obviously, Succession took home a lot of awards. Squid Game, outstanding writing, outstanding lead actor, fantastic. Really happy to see
Jeremy
it.
Jeremy Strong, bro.
I know, right? And Better Call Saul, nothing. Did not get a single award.
So, I have a weird thought about it, because I saw some news about that, but the sixth season, that, like, this, it wasn't for this year, right? Like, that was for the fifth season, like, it in this award circuit, right?
I think. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the sixth season didn't qualify for this year's awards. I think the fifth season did, because of, like, release schedule and shit. But I'm almost, I mean, I saw this and I was like, wait a second. I feel like it's a possibility. It'll probably, like, I just feel like the release window is too close toward when the Emmy nominations were being released. Like, that Better Call Saul season 6 was airing, like, in that time.
I don't know. All I know is it got snubbed through the night, which was a real bummer, because the show is fantastic. If you haven't seen it or haven't listened to it, we just put out our episode. Our last episode was on Better Call Saul. You should watch it. And you should watch the show, because it's great.
We have a buddy that's on, like, season 4 of
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. He's just getting season 5 for the first time, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's what's crazy that they, you know, are only now getting into it. Somehow have not had all of it just spoiled for them through.
Well, listen.
Image. Have you noticed in the past year, 2 years, the world of Breaking Bad, like, memes in general, but also just, like, the degree of the type of memes has gotten so insane in the last, like, I want to say the last year.
So, now, I think you're referring, like, to a very specific one with, like, Walter White being edited into Mario Kart, where they have the perfect chroma key, like, in, like, stitching around him.
But also proclamations of Walter Wednesday.
Wednesday, my dudes.
Mike Ehrmantraut as kid named Finger, and it's just, it's so bizarre, but you know what? I'm not going to complain, because it's fun to watch.
Listen, I as a big fan of Walter Wednesdays every year and every week, I'm all for it. I love it. I love the show. I love the universe.
Relax and take notes.
Exactly. Do want to add, Zach.
Yes.
We are terrible hosts.
Oh, absolutely.
We forgot to remind our audiences, as always, that they can find Scripter Screen on our website at www.scripterscreen.com or anchor.fm/scripterscreen. And they could find our podcast on all their favorite platforms, or let's say they're switching from Android to iPhone and they want to go to, like, Apple Podcasts. Like, that's, like, one hell of a way to find
it. They can do that.
They can find us on social media.
On Instagrams.
At Scripture Screen.
On Facebooks.
Dude, it's insane.
If we had a MySpace, you better believe we'd be on that MySpace.
I don't know that we are. Actually, MySpace, I think, exists still. That you could sign up for that. I don't know that
Tom,
I want
we're on
that.
Our way, Tom.
Does he still own MySpace?
Probably. Did he ever?
I don't know.
I just thought he was the guy who was everybody's friend. Anyway, Chris, you know what we're in right now?
What?
We're in the golden age of television.
Ooh, the golden age.
The golden age of television. Because right now, let me just paint you a picture.
This picture better have, like, 8 pillars right now, because there's a lot going on.
Listen to this. This is our week. So we start off Sundays with House of the Dragon. On Wednesdays now, we have Andor on Disney+. first three episodes have dropped. I've seen them. You haven't. They're great. It's everything I've ever wanted from modern Star Wars. Thursdays, She-Hulk. Fridays, Rings of Power. I'm sure there's stuff happening on Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday as well. But there's so many fucking shows going on right now.
It's a little bit of overload.
It is.
It's like, I kind of like have to make sure it's like, oh god.
Especially when Disney Plus drops three episodes of Andor right away.
I have still yet to watch them. My schedule has been insane. Like, I caught up to Rings of Power the other day, like, almost half a week late. Like, tomorrow's the new episode, as of while we're recording this.
Oh, like, tomorrow? You mean, I'm a real fan. I stay up till midnight, and I watch it right when it comes out.
Dude, tonight. Oh, wait, are you really?
Oh my god, yeah. Are you joking? Of course I am. Listen,
we are in a renaissance of sorts.
I'm putting this on the record now. Rings of Power is great. Anyone who's complaining it's not, doesn't know Tolkien, doesn't understand how adaptation works, or is just racist.
I don't know. They almost lost me in the third half, not gonna lie.
I don't think so.
It's just the difference between us as fans.
Fake fans.
I never claimed to be a real fan.
This is a fake fan. That's all I'm saying.
Listen.
Here's the thing. People say it's been slow building up, but a show that starts off slow and then finishes strong will always be remembered for its finishing strong. A show that starts off strong and then fizzles out is only going to be remembered as a show that fizzled out. So it's the process, and you gotta respect the whole thing. You would not judge a book by the first two or three chapters and say, well, the plot hasn't really kicked in yet, so I'm not
interested.
I would
absolutely judge a book beforehand by the cover. I'd judge the book by the smell as I took it off the shelf to inspect what it was.
Ew.
I would judge a book to see if there was somebody next to me reading that book. I would judge it based off the person reading that book.
Wow.
I know. I am cold.
That's okay. Because I accept you.
Thanks, Bobby.
I think we should talk about the show we were supposed to talk about.
Let me start talking about Arcane. I don't know if this was ever recorded in the podcast earlier. I'd have to go back into the archive. I did not watch it when it first came out. I don't know that I cared for it when it first came out.
So I know that when it first came out, like, dropped, I did not watch it. Not because I thought it was going to not be good, but because I was like, I don't know League of Legends. I have no interest. But then it was the word of mouth that everyone was like, holy crap. And it's happening again because apparently on Netflix now they have this new Cyberpunk 2077 Edgerunner anime that just came out that everyone's singing its praises for, saying it's amazing. So I'm like, guess I gotta watch that. But yeah, word of mouth, definitely got it. And then the way they released it originally was three episodes and then three episodes and then three episodes, each set of three coming out 1 week apart. And I watched it only when all of them had been released, so I didn't have to wait. But it was when I watched it, and I said, holy crap, I was hooked from the first scene. And we'll dig into our non-spoilery thoughts later. But you waited a little while.
I did. Well, I made a bet with you. And less of a bet and more of like, Zach, if this show gets nominated for an Emmy, I'll watch it. Or not just nominated. I think I'm like, yeah, because then
it's got to win.
I think what happened when it was coming out
losers.
there was just like something going on, like, and I think it was just life was happening and
the pursuit of happiness.
I always find, especially, I'm definitely a lot more critical of, like, animated works than I find, you know, some other people in, like, our circle.
Right.
Whether they are, like, anime or, like, American animations or mm-hmm. whatever. I'm actually incredibly hypercritical of, like, Disney and Pixar as of recent because I think they're making some really shitty decisions. But that'll be for another tale. So, watching this show, I think it really took a lot. It took a lot out of me. I really had to sit down and try to commit. I did. And
let me ask you this.
Ask me.
Before you started, before you sat down and you experienced what Arcane is, what did you think Arcane was going to be? Or what was your expectation of what you were about to see? Not so much plot and like story, but like thematics and overall feeling.
I'll be honest, like I had zero expectation, especially because going into it this time, like I didn't think I watched the trailer for it. I don't even remember the trailer for it. I just turned it on and I'm like, I have zero expectation of what to expect. I just know that this is an animated program. I know everybody says how amazing it is. And I know that I don't necessarily have a taste for all the animated programming.
Right.
And so that was a big hurdle to kind of jump over and like try to make sure I really like gave it the attention and everything that it deserved. Mm-hmm. And immediately, like, I found things that I could kind of gravitate towards just based off of, like, what I have watched. Like, I thought I could find bits and pieces from both, like, video games and as well as, like, popular, like, animated shows, even some that we've covered. I even mentioned to you, like, oh, like, immediately after the first episode, like, I got some, like, almost Avatar vibes. Like, The Last Airbender, not Blue People.
Yeah.
And then,
I think the beginning is very misleading in that regard, for sure. On purpose.
And so, you know, it was an interesting kind of trek as the show progressed, just to see, like, in which directions they were going, because it definitely didn't go the way I expected, especially thinking about, like, from the very first episode to the mm-hmm. last one. Am I happy about that? Sure. I don't need all my expectations to be met all the time. In fact, when they're not, like, it makes things more interesting. Just in generally, like, you know, generally speaking. But I did find that there were still, like, a lot of essence, like, of characters and stuff that, though we have seen before, like, it was decisions made by these characters that you could see where they would have gone in shows like Avatar. Mm-hmm. And, like, where they decided to make their departure from those decisions.
Right.
And, like, what if instead we did this with this type of show, which apparently is directed towards, like, a teen children's audience, TV-14.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the intended demographic is, because what a show's writing staff comes up with and what the
MPAA
network,
or the network, yeah, or whatever thing, it's not
what
MPAA
they decide is it's okay for is wildly different things, because I don't think this is a kid's show at all. This is a very violent and
there were
angsty,
a lot of visceral moments. It was very angsty.
Very emotional, very dramatic, and in a lot of cases, a lot more adult than a show than you would come to expect with an animated series.
Yeah, the dealing with like a lot of like mature themes in it, with this the guise of like the steampunk, like 3D animated, like art style and like world that they put us in. Like in a sense, I think I texted you, and this is the irony in this is funny. Like, dude, I almost feel like I wish this was a video game rather than a television program.
Yeah.
It almost had like the same, a very similar aesthetic to like what modern Jack and Daxter would look like. You know what I'm saying? Like, in
right.
I'm thinking like when I look at like Clagger, or when I look at first episode was this the other gentleman's name? I have
Milo.
I'm just like looking at like some of these character designs. I'm like, okay, like I see what they are. Like, I liked the premise. I'm like, okay, this group of like thieves, and like there's like obviously like a societal separation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are all very
it's tropey.
It's tropey, but like I can see, like, you know, the representation, like, of where it comes from, because I mean, this is all stuff that, like, we deal with in actuality, like,
oh, for sure.
And so, like, it does play tropey in the beginning, and as I said, you know, a couple seconds ago, like, when they start taking those departures from these tropes, and they mm-hmm. really start to kind of, like, rail into you, that, like, oh, this is not your average program, is when I'm like, okay. But then it's like I was kind of overwhelmed with like a sense of like, Jesus Christ, like, what the fuck is happening?
So it's great because I think I'm in many ways kind of opposite from you in just my exposure to animated mediums. I watch a lot of anime. I watch a lot of animated series. I follow a lot of that stuff. I often say, like, you know, what is it about animation that live action can do better? And the answer is nothing. So it's interesting because in other countries and in less mainstream stories, these things are already being done. Very mature stories, especially out of like places like Japan, very mature stories in an animated form are already being made. And I think people look at, like, they see animation, they think kids, they think, you know, child entertainment. But there are still so many interesting stories that can be told that are more adult-oriented. And the medium of animation is a good way to explore that, because I don't think this would have worked in live action.
You know what's funny? I thought about, like, by the time I finished it all, I kept thinking to myself, like, I don't know if animation was appropriate for this series. Like, it obviously was, like, from a creative standpoint. Like, they got to do a lot of really interesting, like, design work and world building. Mm-hmm. And, like, the art style was, like, very interesting. It was a French studio that made this show?
Yes, I believe so. In fact, we need to go... I want to go over the cast and crew, but go ahead.
It's just, like, you know, it was all, like, really, like... well done, like, skillfully, like, from a technical level, like, I thought that first and foremost was the big standout piece for me, but I then started to think about, like, where does the responsibility lie in terms of, like, the creator and the audience to members make it
it family-friendly because it's a cartoon?
Because it's a cartoon? Or it's just, like, with the artists would be like, maybe it's like, if it was with real people, it's like, you could understand, like, this is real people, so remember the drama that's happening in this, everything's like,
you're approaching it from the perspective of...
I am. Because
because it's animated, it must be for kids.
Well, it's like,
you gotta look at it in terms of... animation is just the medium.
Animation, I agree with you, that animation is the medium. But then it's like, it got me thinking, like, you know, children must have, like, looked at this and be like, oh, I'm going to watch this. And at that point...
Like, I mean, it's like saying, like, South Park. Should South Park have an obligation to be family-friendly because it's...
Right. And it's like, the obligations, like, on the ratings agencies and the parents and people that watch this. But it's like, to any kid that, like, goes in, like...
Cause, oh, yeah, no,
It's like when I thought of, like, comic books. I tried to think about that as well. I'm like, you know, there are, like, PG-13, like, comic book films. There's, like, Joker, which was rated R. There's, like, The Batman, which was almost rated R. And I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, there was a rated R version by Zack Snyder. Like...
Yeah.
And, like...
We're not... We don't mention his name.
Either way, I'm just, like, thinking to myself, like, goddamn, like, there's a... Like, this is the definition of what I would say, like, watch what your children are watching, because, like, sometimes...
But at the same time, I can...
Maybe it's not the creator,
I can remember a 6 or 7 year old little Zach walking into the TV room in his house in Georgia, turning on the TV, flipping through the channels, and coming across an animated series in which a guy in orange with black spiky hair and a green man were fighting another guy with black spiky hair, and the green man got his arm blown off by a laser, and my little kid brain was like, oh, and I've never been the same since.
I was in the fourth grade, and I was watching South Park.
Yeah,
like, funny to say that. And, like,
I was, like, not even 10 years old when I started watching
that. That's the thing. It's like, you know, yeah, we get exposed to these things. I don't know. I just thought about it.
It's an excellent show. I think the animation only makes it better because some of the stuff, and we'll get into it, but some of the stuff can only, it wouldn't have worked in live action. And
no, obviously.
And I think.
From a stylistic point of view, I think it succeeds because of the fact it's an animation.
In terms of animation, I don't think any show comes this close to looking good. We'll talk about it. Let's dig into the cast and crew. Do you have a synopsis you can hit people with, even though we've already been talking for like half an hour?
I do. So.
And one, like always, I will judge it on how accurate that synopsis is to what the product that is actually offered.
Oh, Jesus. Please don't judge me. So this premise comes from the Wikipedia of Arcane, and it's very simple. Amidst the escalating unrest between the rich utopian city Piltover and its seedy, oppressed underbelly of Zaun, sisters Vi and Jinx find themselves on opposing sides of a brewing conflict over clashing convictions and arcane technologies.
That is good, but man, that's spoilery. Because if you just watch the first episode, there is no indication in the first episode of where the shit's gonna go, and I think that's one of the best parts about it. Arcane, created by Christian Link and Alex Yee for Netflix, based off League of Legends by Riot Games, produced by Studio Fortiche. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Story was by Christian Link, Alex Yee, Connor Sheehy, and Ash Brannon. Directed by Pascal Chéroux and Ahmad Delord. Written by Christian Link, Alex Yee, Ash Brannon, Nick Luddington, David Dunn, Amanda Overton, Ben and Molly St. John. Theme music by Imagine Dragons. What'd you think of the theme, the opening? Do you like Imagine Dragons?
I hate Imagine Dragons.
Oh, okay.
Another version of the song, though, of the song Enemy. Like, it was not the radio version, for example. It was like...
Oh, I don't know. I only know it from the thing. I'm like,
at least whatever. I'm pretty sure it sounded like a different version. There was...
I don't go out of my way to listen to Imagine Dragons, so I was like, it's fine.
Imagine Dragons is the Nickelback of the of the 2010s, 2020s at this point. I will say, though, the song that I like the most, and because I think it has, I mean, it's really this, obvious, but it has a lot of the soundtrack to the, is like the very
soundtrack
last song.
To this. The one that was written by what's his name?
You don't need to say it, but it's like it is the best song of the whole show.
Oh my god, why am I blanking on it? Sting.
Yeah.
Sting, yeah, that's great. It's a very, I feel like the lyrics to that song are very, a little bit too on the nose, but it's good.
Yeah.
I have my favorite song, but I'll tell you in a minute. Music, overall, like composition by Alexander Temple and Alex Seaver. The original run for the series was November 6th to the 20th, 2021.
I was going to say, I knew it was around Thanksgiving last year.
Yep. And let's look at this cast. We got Hailee Steinfeld as Vi, both younger and older. This was also right at the same time that Hawkeye was
about
out.
To come out. Or, yep. Yeah, releasing, yeah.
And so it's funny because there's a line in Hawkeye about how much Imagine Dragons sucks. And it's like, she made that joke at the same time that she's in a show with Imagine Dragons. Ha ha.
Oh, God.
Ella Purnell as Powder, a.k.a. Jinx, and Mia Sinclair Jenis as the younger version of that character. Kevin Alejandro as Jace Talis. If I fuck up these names, I'm sorry. I don't play League. Katie Leung as Caitlin Kiraman, and Molly Harris as the younger version. Jason Spisak as Silco. Ooh. Harry Lloyd as Victor. Harry Lloyd... are the Viserys Targaryen from the first season of Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
Yeah. Tox Olagundoye as Mel Medarda. J.B. Blanc as Vander. Reed Shannon as Echo. Miles Brown as Young Echo. And Mick Wingert as Cecil B. Heimerdinger. And there's a lot of other smaller roles as well. But that's kind of like our core people.
I mean, we've basically covered a lot of our non-spoilery thoughts, Zach. I think we should jump right into it halfway
into
the show.
Spoilers. you've been warned. This is it. This is, I mean, listen, it's been out for a year. What are you doing? Go and watch Arcane. It's great. Yeah. Even if animation is not your biggest thing, I think it's
To anybody that doesn't watch a lot of cartoons and stuff, like myself, you relate to that, that's fine. Like, it's okay to not like things from time to time. But, you know, sometimes when you might find some hidden gems, and they might take a while, but if you have... How many hours is in the average lifespan of a human being at this point?
Do you want me to actually look that up?
No, I do not want you to look that up. I'm just saying, for 40-minute episodes and everything, there's so much content to be brought into people's brains and minds and everything that it's like... Less than 9 hours of your time is at the worst.
It says roughly, you know, for about, if like you say, like the average is about 80 years old, about 700,800 hours.
I don't know that I regret spending 9 hours of that number on the show.
I hope not.
I wouldn't say that, like, it, for me, it kind of was a slow burn of like, all right. But then by the end, I was like, okay, I think I got something out of this.
Well, let's dive into spoilers. Yeah. 3, 2, 1, there's your warning. Sex and violence. A lot of people die, and there's some sensual boning going on in this cartoon.
I do want to focus on the dying part, though, because there was like some very visceral, like,
things in there. Let's rewind a bit. So just basically, I love where we start off. We get, first of all, I said it before, I'll say it again, I was hooked from the very first scene, that cold open, where we have, and I went in blind. I don't know anything about League, I don't know the lore, I don't know the characters.
I don't know that I really understood what was happening in the very first scene. It took them like maybe half of the first episode to really explain it.
But even still, just going in blind, again, not knowing anything, seeing this, like, this, you know, bridge where... some horrible thing has happened. There's fire. There is smoke.
The sky is red.
People, soldiers walking around just shooting people on the ground. And our first image of our characters is Vi and Powder walking. And Powder is covering her eyes and singing loudly. And you can... And immediately, you know, there's so much you can pull from an image like that of like, did this older sister tell her little sister to cover her eyes and sing so just she would not be exposed to all the carnage that's going around?
Yeah.
And when you think about that stuff, I see it. I'm like, that's heartbreaking. Even before, I don't know anything about these characters. And I'm like, that's when I know. I'm like, this is going to be something special because they're already conveying a lot of information without dialogue.
Yeah.
Which is when we'll get to it a little bit later. There's a couple scenes in this series where they convey so much without a single word spoken, and it's fantastic.
I find that a lot of the use in the first episode of like kind of setting up like our, I don't want to call it like our not actual plot. I almost wonder like what that first scene.
Mm-hmm.
I think has more meaning to the end of the show than it does the regular, like the first.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, showing this is a, I mean, if you take anything away from it, this is a war-torn area and people are dying and orphans are being left on the street.
Yeah.
But it's just the I feel like just the level of competency. And then, yeah, we do segue to a very tropey thing of like, you know, kids and they're from the slums and they're running up and they're going up to topside and they're stealing from the rich and they're parkouring and they kind of
like that was familiar to me. Like I liked that. Like yeah. That's what I was like, okay, like I see what the show is like. This is interesting. Like I like the dynamics. It had that very much like found family kind of vibe, and you know, which is where I kind of brought up that idea of The Last Airbender.
For sure.
And even Korra to another degree. Actually, Korra more so in like design aesthetic of Piltover and
Republic City.
Republic City, you know, the steampunk-esque era, like, of, like, mm-hmm. some, just like, there was an industrial technological revolution of sorts happening.
Basically, yeah.
And then we get a clear idea of, like, the dynamics between, okay, this Academy of Soldiers and this whole council of very important pompous fascist
high,
people.
Yeah, the high up people, the council.
And then I got very similar vibes. This is, you know, it's this kind of show now. When we get into Vander's speakeasy of sorts and the Inzan, almost like that of a Deadpool, like the film.
Yeah, kind of just like a down and dirty pub where all the
all the Mos Eisley cantina of sorts. You know, what I'm
saying?
I love
it. I love the he's got his pipe and he's smoking it and he's keeping
a lot
his
of smoking
patron.
In the show. A lot of smoking.
Yeah, again, not a kid's show.
No, not at all.
he you know he helps the one guy who's being shaken down by some thugs, mm-hmm. and I love how so many things aren't just, like, one and done. That guy who he helps eventually goes on to help Vi and Caitlin in, like, episode 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Even though he ends up kind of fucking him over in the end. But it's whatever. Yeah. but, yeah. And seeing Vander's whole interaction with the kids, and he's kind of a tough but fair guy, and he, you know, he'll tell him not to be stupid, but then he'll be like, oh, if you're gonna steal something, make sure you don't lose the shit you're stealing,
right,
on the way back. So it creates, you know, that familiar dynamic, and I think it's all very purposeful.
Yeah.
Because when shit hits the fan in episode 3, which it hits the fan almost right away, as soon as episode 3 starts, with the enforcers being murdered and, like, you know, blood being sprayed everywhere and stuff, and obviously what transpires later in the episode with Powder killing a lot of people on accident. I think it's like suddenly you go like, oh, I've been led along this whole time thinking that this is the kind of show it's going to be, only for everything to just blow up in my face. And it's fantastic.
Quite literally blow up in your face.
Boom.
So, I want to take a step back.
Yes.
Because I think the show establishes early on, like, its care for its supporting characters.
Oh, yeah.
While
for sure.
I think our main characters are very much established early on. Like, there's a big focus on Vi and Vander. And mm-hmm. then on the antagonistic side, it's, what's her name?
Silco and...
Silco and... Well, not... I wouldn't say Jinx.
Oh, not yet. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, there's, like, oh, forget the muscly lady.
Her. Who's voiced by this actress that's in everything,
Savika.
By the way. Yeah. And I like how they kind of show these dynamics between all these different characters and how they all kind of affect a lot of, like, the world building and the relationships that they have in their society. To the point where, like, in the beginning of second episode, how it starts off, like, as another telling of, like, the events that happened during the robbery. Like, I actually thought that was very interesting. Like, the take, I'm like, oh, okay, like, we're going to see the other point of view. What was happening on the other side of the door? Like, dude.
From Jace and Caitlin's point of view.
That, and, like, also, we get the idea of, like, who Jace is, by the way, and, like, how he's, like, being sponsored. Like, he's not high class, really.
He's, you know, kind of, yeah, he's... His family is, like, laborers, basically.
Yeah.
And you know, it's fascinating. There's so much, like, it's so cool, because, like, you could look at just one corner of this show and be like, there's so much discussion to be mined from just the stuff in Zahn. You know, mm-hmm. just Vander and Silco and their dynamic as, like, former allies who kind of, you know, turned against each other, and Vi and Powder and how they were sisters and what drove them apart, and the really, you know, once you get into the second and third act, the really troubling relationship between Jinx and Silco. But then on the other side, you have all this other really interesting stuff with, like, Jace and what kind of person he is and what kind of person he turns out to become, and his relationship with Victor and his relationship with Mel, and one of my favorites is all of them and their relationship with Heimerdinger, who could have come across as a very cartoonish character,
yeah,
but ends up being, I think, one of the most tragic characters in the series. Just fantastic character writing across the board.
Who would you say is the one you were most attracted to? I'm going to rephrase that. Who would you say is the character that you enjoyed following the most?
I really liked the whole Vi and Jinx
dynamic.
Mainly because I wanted it to work out. But really, seeing like the whole, so there's the point, and I don't remember exactly what episode it is, but it's the part where, well, we have in the third episode when Jace and Victor, they forego the council telling them, no, you gotta stop, you gotta just put away all these things, the world's not ready for these inventions, and they say, fuck it, we're doing it anyway, and it works, and Heimerdinger gives them the whole Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park thing of, just mm-hmm. because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Right.
But then it's when they've developed their hex tech and they're trying to like progress it even further, and he's telling them like, this is great, you know, in a decade it'll be perfect, and then we can really start really thinking about what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
And there's a great line from Jace where he's like, humans don't live for hundreds of years like whatever, you know, Yoda race Heimerdinger is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love that because he's like, and it's kind of like this thing that you get in a lot of fantasy of like these other beings that have lived for like centuries. And, you know, he's like, oh, a decade will go by like in the blink of an eye. You won't even realize it's past, and then we'll be ready to do it. And for the humans, you're like, no, a decade is that's a lifetime. And this is my work, and I have poured my heart and soul into it. You can't just tell me to wait 10 years.
You know, we were talking about Lord of the Rings earlier. It reminds me of like Elrond's thoughts about how men never change, because he was there when men failed the first time and then continued to fall. So it's like, it's an interesting way to like kind of see that opposite dynamic, because I don't think people really advocate much for like humans and like why we should do things for people like in the now.
Yeah.
And I don't say fantasy, because the show, not necessarily fantasy, but it has like a fantastical...
It has fictitious
elements. And like, I liked the idea that he's advocating to do... For some do-goodedness in the world that sees a lot of, like... There's a lot of disparity and a lot of divide between people. And Jace recognizes that. Him, even... Because he's... We just said bottom totem pole of the upper side mm-hmm. of the totem pole. And I think, like, that provides a lot of great value thematically. Like, and just in terms of... offering that opportunity, like showing the audiences like that side of, I mean, this fucking octagonal show of sorts, you know what I'm saying? I think there's like a lot of different, there's a lot of elements. I actually really liked Victor's story probably the most.
Victor is great. It's fantastic.
I would say like as kind of, because he is from Zaun, you know?
Yeah. And they have that great moment where he goes down to meet with a weird scientist guy, but he's being held up on the bridge.
Yeah.
And Jace is like, what are you doing, like, hanging out or down here with all these, like, you know, people from the Undercity like that? And he's like, I am from the Undercity.
You dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great foil to, like, his kind of shitty attitude. Jace doesn't have a shitty ad. But then it's also like his saving grace, because when Jace most needed it, Victor was there to stop him from doing something stupid. But that's another complaint I have regarding the rating. Like, they deal with suicide or like allusions to suicide
yes.
in this show on a number of occasions. Like, they deal with, like, the ramifications of, like, the misuse of weapons. Let's talk about that. Let's kind of go back to the Harley Quinn of the show.
Jinx.
Like the Jinx's story is a tragedy through and through. I'd say that, but it's also, I loved the parallel that they made, like, towards the end of, like, her character's entire arc, toward that of, like, Frankenstein. You know, like, very Mary Shelley by the end of it, and, like, Victor being, like, adoptive, the Dr. Frank, like, the actual Dr. Frankenstein, and Jinx being Frankenstein's monster. You know, even though Jinx is, like, the, she's a culmination of problems from many different people. I just loved, like, and that's what I was talking about, like, that music, like, toward the end, like, that they really tied it in. It, like, I mean, very on the nose, but, like, I still thought it was, like, excellent. But, like, that starts in the very beginning, like Jinx's, or, you know, Powder at the time, like, she was just a kid. You know, she wanted to be involved. She wanted help. She didn't want to be, like, on her own. And, like, that is so sad that she went to such great lengths to try to help out, that she caused such damage. You know, like, that was, like, that was one of the first, like, truly shocking points in the show. Like, holy fuck. Like, all right, this guy, Milo Klager, gone immediately. Like, I wasn't expecting that. That's where, like, that's that turning point that we were talking about. You know,
it's,
like,
that moment. It's that moment where
you realize that's where you realize the show is, like, oh, fuck. Like, this is almost the Game of Thrones of League of Legends.
And it's funny because it goes, like,
they weren't afraid.
Obviously, she, when she first sets off her thing, the monkey bomb, and it kills, or it hits it, the guy that's been shimmered up, and then it hits Silco, and Savika kind of, like, shoves him out of the way, and you see it, like, vaporize her arm and stuff, and you're like, shit, like, it kills the scientist downstairs, and you're like, okay, this is going pretty well, and then, yeah, you see that thing burst through, and it's the flick where you see Klager's goggles, and you see the blood hit him, and you're just like, oh, yeah, fuck.
That, like, the use of, like, cutaways, like, off-screen violence that they had in this, I don't know, man. Like,
there is that, and also when it doesn't cut away. I was very unsure. Let's talk about a few of the fights in this series, because a few of the fights, there's two in particular that I think are really well stylized, but both end in such a visceral manner. So the first, it is maybe my favorite part in this entire season, because I think the buildup to it is fantastic. And I think the execution is amazing because it tells a story within its fight, and it does it in a really creative way. So we're talking episode 7, which is the Boy Savior. We've gotten the reveal that the head of the Fireflies is Echo, and he is, you know, helping Vi and Caitlin get back up, and they got get to the bridge, and shit hits the fan, and Jinx ends up killing almost everybody on the bridge with these explosive butterflies. Great moment. But it's that, it's when he steps in and protects Vi and Caitlin from Jinx, and we have this little square off, and he pulls out his watch, and I love it because, again, conveyed all without dialogue. He pulls out the watch, and you can tell by the way he's reacting in this moment, you can tell that obviously, you know, that they have history, but this is something that he knows that she will get a rise out of her. Mm-hmm. He pulls out the watch. It starts ticking back and forth. The music starts playing, and it's this really eclectic rap song.
Yeah.
And the lighting is amazing. The flashing of the lights behind him, and as it's ticking, it cuts to her back as a kid, and then he's a kid, and it explodes into this colorful, I don't even know what you call it, just flashy scene of, like, them as kids, but then flashing between them as kids and them as adults, and her shooting a paint gun at him, interspliced with her unloading on him with bullets.
Yeah.
And watching it all play out, and you get this whole thing of like, of course, this is a game they used to play as kids, and he
but
is,
now it's for keeps.
But now he's choosing to draw her into a fight with something memorable, knowing how she will react, knowing how she will handle it and how she will fight, because this is how they used to play, and he uses that information to get the better of her. And just when you think, okay, the whole rap song is winding down, it rewinds everything, goes into one quick shot of the whole fight, and it is over in like 3 seconds, and it's just him just wailing on her.
I would say, like, from a, I don't want to say like a creative standpoint, because the thing is, in the next episode, the motif was there, and I was like, I don't know that I felt anything about it, like in the intro to the one following. No, it was actually the intro of the seventh episode.
Yeah,
not
it's
the
it's the, okay. It's,
I'm getting
they started off with a rap song. Yeah,
yeah, and I was like, okay, that's weird, but like it moves in, and I don't know, like
for me, when you can have a fight scene that is more than just two characters fighting, it is a story is being told and a discussion is being had in that fight.
I'll agree that the editing choices, I think, further it elevated the scene as a whole. Without like, that, you know, I think it was a good creative decision.
Without it, I don't think it would have been as powerful, but I mean, it works on so many levels, because one, it's an analytical thing of like, you can say, oh, he knows how to lure her into
her, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's a tragedy, because these used to be children who played together, and now they are literally trying to kill each other.
Yeah, that was kind of the point I was trying to make earlier, like about her character. Like, it is just like a sad circumstance of things that just kind of like fell upon her. Like,
yeah, it's everything that could go wrong did.
Yeah, Murphy's Law for sure.
And then there's the other fight I wanted to talk about was in, I think it's the episode 8, when Vi and Jace go to bust up the Shimmer Lab, and it's played out like this really awesome, just kick-ass action scene. You know, she's got the gauntlets, and he's got the hammer. And they're just wailing on him, and then he, like, takes his hammer, and he starts, like, shooting, like, lasers out of it, and you're like, this is fucking awesome. Oh, they killed a kid.
Yeah. And so, and that image, in and of itself, I think it really did rub me the wrong way. I'm like, dude.
That's
like,
when you know the show's doing its job well.
I mean, to a degree, but at that sense, I'm like, it was that point that I kind of came with the realization, like, yo, how are you going to let your kids watch this? This is, like, this is really deep.
You're not like, supposed to.
You're not supposed to, and that's the thing, and I'm like...
Animation does not equal kids' show, and what I love is the discussion that follows it, because Jace is like, I don't want to kill any more kids, obviously, and she's like...
Dude, but many other kids have fucking died already, like...
Yeah, and...
Dude,
and
like, Vi is here saying, of a point that we need to stop Silco.
Vi is here saying, if we don't fight him, this is just going to keep happening. He's going to recruit more children. And Jace is like, no, you don't understand. I can't do this. And it leads to him ultimately like making the deal with Silco, which ends up kind of fucking everything over.
Yeah, in a very substantial way by the time we get to the end of it. Can we talk about like the whole Shimmer idea,
where it's like a power source, it's a drug,
yeah,
it is a, it it's heals you.
It's this multifaceted tool, or substance, or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
It's a MacGuffin.
And like, yeah, but it's like, I think what it represents too, in terms of like, just our culture, the way it's used, like, the fact that it was used on a kid, or this kid was piloting this Shimmer scooter or whatever the fuck it was, like, I mean, I don't know, it reminds, like, we did an episode on Better Call Saul, remember that episode Breaking Bad, dude, where they use the kids as the drug, like, it reminds me exactly of, like, this is very similar type of manipulation, and then it makes you think,
absolutely.
Like, Silco as, you know, as an antagonist, like, master manipulator, Mm-hmm. Fucking.
Oh, I think about the scene when
conniving son of a bitch.
When Vi and Caitlin are in the, you know, they're hiding out in the slums, and he is able to pay off the guy who helped them.
Yeah.
By giving him the shimmer, and you can tell he's like, he's willing to flood the slums with it,
like
to get what he wants.
There, like, where's the moral compass?
Also, injecting his eyeball with it.
That was like an interesting thing that I'm like,
made me
very uncomfortable. Yeah, no, did not like that.
The scene when he goes to visit Marcus at his house and he's playing with his daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh, this is some grade A villain shit right here.
Yeah, it was definitely.
He like knocks down the things. And he's like, accidents happen.
Did not like that. Sorry, Bobby. Mm-mm. That's a no from me.
Yeah. I want to also talk about one character who comes into the show late, who honestly makes maybe the best entrance of any of the characters, and who just, I was just like, I could watch a whole show with this character, and that's Mel's mother.
Mel's mother is just got a lot of issues.
I know, but she's like the Tywin Lannister of this series. Comes in and she, the whole thing when in the flashback with Mel as a kid, and I love that whole scene when she talks about like, if this was your kingdom, what would you do? And she, Mel, has this whole idea of, oh well, I would sit here and I would have this person here, and the queen should be this kind of person, and they're like, okay, well, we brought in this person who was the former queen, and what would you do with them? It's like, let them live. And she's like, no. And she like whacks, like cuts her head off. And when she comes to Piltover, and she has that scene with Jace where she's in the bath and she's talking about all these historical things, like, oh, you know this guy, and he loved to...
Bro, when she got up, the fucking power move that was.
Oh my god, power. just total Sigma, you know, Alpha, whatever mindset. Dude, it was fantastic.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Just the whole thing of like, oh, this guy, and he liked to wear a blindfold, and you know what happened to him? He got slaughtered with his eyes closed, and don't be like him. And I'm like, yeah. I live for characters like that who are just intimidating and awesome. But then you do see a little bit of humanity when she's like telling Mel, she's like, listen, you know, you're my kid, so I do care about you, but you got to start making the right decisions.
Yeah.
With this place.
That's, I mean, listen, everybody's got their own thoughts.
Even so, Mel, a character who I thought was going to be very one note, I thought she was just going to seduce, Jace to become kind of like a power hungry person. But
yeah.
She's like, no, I do want to make the world a better place, and I think I can do it with your hex tech. We can do it together. And I'm like, okay, I like that she isn't just, no one is one note in this series, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, everybody kind of dances like around different parts of like the morality spectrum, we'll call it.
For sure.
Even Silco at a point where like he, whether it was manipulation tactic or not, like the relationship that he's trying to convey to Jinx that like they have, even to the point of like, with his last words to her before his passing.
I think they're a little too touchy, but it is a genuine father-daughter relationship.
I do think his thoughts toward her were incredibly genuine. Even like if he was fucking lying
I was gonna say, what do you think at the end? Do you think he's lying? Do you think he would have given her up, or do you think he was like, no, I would never do that?
I think he was scared of her. I don't know that he would have given her up. I just don't think that he would have given her over to them. I think he would have tried to dealt with him himself.
Okay.
Like, I think he would have tried to use it to it. Like, there would have been some sort of betrayal, maybe to both Jace and her, but I don't know that he would instantly be like, oh yeah, fuck her, like, I'm gonna do... Because did he really care about the independence of Zaun? Did he?
I think he did.
He was more obsessed with his own self-interest, is what I think, 100%.
I don't disagree. I do think though that he wanted, because he's the head of Zaun basically, mm-hmm. After the time skip. So he like
but it's like he's the head of it. But it's like in reality he doesn't give a shit what happens to the people of Zaun. He's giving them shimmer.
Yeah,
Like,
no,
that's
no, you're
the
right,
thing.
You're
like,
right. It's,
I don't know that he actually cares for Zahn's well-being. He only cares about his own control
that's what I love
and role
about
in Zahn.
That's what I love about the show, is that nothing is an easy answer.
Yeah.
Is he bad for the people of Zahn? Yes, absolutely. Is he fighting for their rights? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is he, a loving father? Kind of, yeah. But is he also, like, a monster who murders people and, makes his daughter figure, put herself into extremely dangerous situations? Also, yes.
Yeah.
There is no one in the series that is just purely good or purely bad. Even Heimerdinger, who has, like, centuries of knowledge and understanding, he can't see things from a human perspective.
I don't know that there's anybody truly good or truly bad. Like, I agree with you on that sense. But I do think that the show is full of characters that, like, are, like, steadfast in, like, their beliefs.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
They are hardcore. And there's one of the speeches, I say speeches, like, one of the scenes that I think about is it comes at Finn's death. When Silco is talking to, there's kind of a coup going on, or almost, and you have Sevica behind him readying her blade.
Mm-hmm.
And so Silco's discussing, like, about Zahn, the old days versus, like, now, and it's like, he says, like, the thing that stood out most between the two eras was the sense of loyalty mm-hmm. that the people had for one another. And then, we kind of get this great, like, moment where, Sevica's not going to betray him, but she does, in fact, remain loyal. She's of, like, that old, like, era of, like, thinking.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that is, like, a really great representation of just, of, like, that quality of these characters, that their beliefs are more important than, like, what side that their beliefs fall on. Because no matter what, like, it's just that's more important to them, that they remain true to those points.
And also, I just love that he's like, did you consider it? And she's like, yeah, for a minute.
But that's fine. Like, yeah. That's cool.
It's like, okay, as long as ends justify the means,
Mm-hmm.
Also, we get a very...
But Finn was a bitch. Fuck that guy.
Oh, no, absolutely. I love the scene when Silco comes in, he, like, shuts off the air... And he brings in the thing that's just, like, dumping, like, the toxic Zahn air into the mm-hmm. room. And he's like, mm-hmm. oh, you've forgotten what this is like. Well, here, let me remind you.
I thought that was fantastic. I liked the whole, he took off his own thing, he could fucking breathe just fine. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, that's badass. That's like, yeah. You take a drop of poison every day, and you become immune to it. I've been telling people I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to just take small amounts of, arsenic every day?
Jesus and- If this becomes
I do not condone this.
If this becomes a one-man show, you guys know why. But also...
Because I made it big, baby.
We got Vi and Caitlin, which is kind of like the most like normal relationship in this whole thing of just
talk
like...
About boring. It's
yeah,
boring.
Just...
It's not
oh, man.
Great.
Two hot ladies that just...
I like Caitlin and Jace. Like, I thought that was like, yeah, it's better. But like, Caitlin,
I like it as kind of just like their friends, but not like...
Eh. It was, like, it was okay.
Yeah, it's a very, I like, one of them's like a tough, streetwise person.
I'm wondering what the feedback from the audience and like the fucking neckbeards on the internet would have been. I mean, come on.
I don't know lore. I don't know if Jinx and Vi are girlfriends in the game or not. I just don't know.
Oh, neither do I.
The only thing I know about it, and I've only learned this after the fact, is that Echo in the games... has time reversing ability, and so that's the whole fight with him and Jinx is a reference to that, because he plays out the whole fight and then he rewinds it to actually do the fight. And I'm like, I didn't know that, I didn't need to know that. It's cool, mm-hmm. and it's like a fun little, oh, did you know that blah blah blah, but I don't need to. The scene works. All these scenes work, even if you don't know shit about League, or whatever the world is called. There's a lot of stuff where I'm like...
I think they were on Earth, by the way. There was that maybe. Moment where we get, like, the kind of zoom out to the universe, and we see the globe and the moon, and I'm like, okay, so it's Earth? That's where we're at?
I don't know, man. But Oh, how about the just very artistic sex scene that's in this show?
Can I tell you something? Where I almost forgot that was in it. I tried to black it out.
Victor's blood that goes into the Hextech thing, and it's swirling around and becoming the bodies of Jace and Mel that are like composed of stars. And it's, I'm like, this is,
I did not, was not
creative.
About that. Yeah, we'll call it creative. I was like,
But you know what? It's everything about this is just,
what was the name of that song at the very end? It was,
The Monster You Created.
The Monster You Created. I thought it was What Could Have Been.
No, that's the, I think the, that's like the, oh no, it is. No, you're right. You're right.
I thought that, yeah, that was like the best moment. Now, in terms of like where we were left off by the end of the show.
Oh, by the way, I love the ending of this.
I was with Anissa and she was like, wait, that's how this ends? It's like, well, yeah, there's going to be another season. And it's like, you know, they're like, talk about a fucking cliffhanger. But yeah, it's not like they didn't have things wrapped up in the sense, like, it gave you something to look forward to.
If I found out that Arcane was like, yeah, we're not doing a season two, one, I'd be bummed because I really have grown to really like these characters and really like this story, and, mm-hmm. and I'm invested now,
mm-hmm.
Even though I still will never play a game of League in my life. No one can make me, and it's so funny because apparently, like, the fan base of the game is like, people are like, oh, I like that show, I'm gonna get into League now, and they're like,
good
don't,
fucking
please,
luck.
Please don't. You do better just to stay out and save yourselves the trouble.
I honestly think that is the case.
But if someone said, oh, it's you know, one season and done, I would be bummed, but at the same time, I'd be like, you know what? That, I could accept that as the ending of the series, and it ending on a bad note, on a sad note of what could have been.
Yeah.
Like, look at everything in this series that went so wrong to all of these characters and all the chances they had to make their world better and how all of it went wrong because of just the problems with this society. They live in a society. You know,
I was gonna say, I see you wrote that in our notes tab, and I'm like, are we gonna touch on that one line?
They do live in a society, but but you know, it is kind of a tragedy when you get to the end of it, and you're like, you know, the whole thing that's happening where Jinx is using this like massive like rocket launcher to take out the council, And it does end,
like,
on
in
that.
Your mind, like, do you imagine none of those characters are in the second season?
Not only that, but I think some of them would probably be in the second season because, like, I think Jace survives. I think, I don't know.
Like, what is the type of devastation that is about to be unleashed upon them?
Here's what I love about it is that, you know, you go like this girl is doing this. She is potentially mass murdering so many important people. And if you trace it all back, this all comes from the inequality in the city because they were from the lower side and their parents died fighting in an uprising of the lower side, trying to get into the top side. And that's what that whole first scene is like they see their parents dead on the bridge. Dude. And so it's just one of those things where you're like, what could have been
I couldn't help but think that, like, it was when Jace proposed, like, the treaty and stuff like that, and, like, the independence of the Undercity. Zahn, not Vaughn. I don't know why I said Vaughn. Sorry. That, like, as soon as, like, the outcry of, like, what the hell are you talking about? I was like, bro, these guys are fucking fascists.
Well, not like, only that, but just, it's like... But it's like, again... He set the thing up to say, like, you know what, let them just be their own people. Let them have their own kingdom. Let's separate ourselves from them. And everyone agrees and says, all right, we'll give them their independence. If they want it that bad, they could have it. And right when they're all agreeing on it, they are seconds away from all being blown to hell. And you're like, it's everything that Silka wanted, and Jinx is destroying it without even realizing it, because every step along the way, every potential avenue for a better outcome has been crushed, and every reason is tied to a character's motivation, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's so great.
I don't know, dude. It's I mean, it is like a, it's really, I thought as an ending and everything, like it rounded out the season and its problems, and I'm like, okay, it's like interesting way to end it. Does it make me want a season two? I guess, you know.
Maybe, well, here's probably. The thing. It leaves the door open for a lot of good drama going forward, because obviously Caitlin knows Vi and Jinx are sisters, but Jinx probably just killed Caitlin's mom, who's part of the council.
Yeah.
So now they have to reconcile that. So that relationship between Caitlin and Vi might be done now.
I'm sad. I'm sad about something. I'm wondering, they kind of, what, I feel like during that final scene where it's just the projectile going into this bullshit, they did use a lot of cuts to show like all these different parts of the city. And it kind of made me a little scared. I was like, because they showed like Echo's like sanctuary, you know, and how he was showing it to my dog on screen. I did not think that guy looked like fucking Iggy. Heimer fucking whatever. Dude, like, he looks like Iggy.
One. He does look like Iggy.
two, but it's like, dude, like, is this like going to be so cataclysmic that it's like, it's also going to affect that? Like, just because the way they were cutting it all together, it's like all these pieces and everything like are going to affect, because I really, like, that was a really like amazing, like Echo and his whole business going on down there, like he's the only one actually doing a damn thing
that
is like really solid, like in this whole thing, like, and it's hidden from the world basically, and I was like, fuck, like I don't want that, don't hurt my boy.
And you know, like, it's crazy because like
they all love their fireflies so much.
Yeah, man, the whole show is just, it's got so much going on.
Yeah.
That, like, and in nine episodes, that's, like, you get so much depth out of it. And I could probably spend, you know, a whole podcast worth of time talking about every single character and how they tie into every other single character.
But I think we did a good job of, like, kind of, like, incorporating a well-roundedness and a pathway into, like, how, what is affected.
Yeah, I don't know where these characters are going to land. All I know is, like, Jinx is, like, a troublemaker in the world, and I don't know where Victor ends up. I think he's turning into like a metal man.
I'm actually really sad that like he killed like his lady.
Oh my god, she got dusted,
dude. And I'm like, oh my god, like that tragic.
Yeah,
like this. The show is just tragedy. Man,
she wanted some Victor,
dude,
and he was just like, I'm busy.
I was so sad. So
and then I don't know what's going to happen. Jace, I feel like I could see him becoming a hero of the people. I could see him becoming a very kind of like
listen,
elitist scum. I don't know where these characters are going to go. And apparently there are like dozens upon dozens of more, I don't know, what do they call them? Heroes, legends that they can still draw and bring into the show.
You feel like, I mean, I don't know if they've announced this or not, but like, what if they took a whatchamacallit approach, an anthology approach of like, what if like it's a whole,
if they told a new story for season two?
Well, like a new story, like obviously same universe.
Yeah.
You know, different heroes that are kind of correlated. And then like, what if at one point they tie them all together. And they call that show League of Legends.
Oh, God.
And there's a spinoff game.
If they put in the same amount of effort so that way I don't have to play the games to know stuff, great.
I'll tell you what, though, and I did text you this. Like, I could easily see this show like as like some sort of RPG or like action-adventure.
I think they've dabbled in like in other forms of games, but I'm
like, just... Like, with the story, like, I almost wish this was a game because I feel like it would have been more entertaining.
Listen,
and not that it wasn't. We just talked about how entertaining this was and how like interesting. But like, I felt like as a game, like that's not League of Legends proper, like some sort of spinoff with like single player story and everything like that, and the ability to like be other characters and in this world, or like, I don't know. I just thought it would have been interesting.
It would have been interesting. I just, you know, I'm glad I got 9 hours of really solid television, and I can be like, okay, I'm done. Because I have other video games that it's like, I only got so much room in my brain.
Like I said, I was hesitant in the very beginning to watch the show. I didn't care for it. I wanted to do other things with my time. But you know what? I do not regret the 9 hours I spent doing it. I think by the end of it, I was like, oh, okay, you know, this is. I think I did get something from this.
Well, there you have
that
it.
I need to watch all the programs that I show my future children one day before they watch it, just because it's like, Jesus, do I need to explain to this kid like what killing kids means?
Well, and, like, yeah, hopefully, hopefully your kids won't watch it until they are old enough to understand and appreciate the heavier aspects.
I am just
of it.
Definitely A-okay with them watching South Park, just not this.
That's fine. And you know what? There's so much else to watch. We're, like I said, we're in the golden age of television. We got Lord of the Rings coming up tomorrow, tonight. We got House of the Dragon this weekend. We got more Andor. We got, you know, and we want to do episodes on all of this. If we have the time, we're going to try and do all this. I don't know if we'll have time to do an episode on She-Hulk, just because
it's not
exactly as, like, heavy-hitting, I think, as some of them. I'm enjoying it. I like it.
I am actually enjoying She-Hulk more than I enjoyed, like, some of these other Marvel shows.
For a lighter, kind of just breezy, like, oh, I don't have to take it too seriously show.
I'll tell you this. I've watched more episodes of She-Hulk than I have of The Defenders. I'll tell you that much.
The Defenders wasn't good.
More episodes than I've seen of season 3 of Daredevil. I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's a mistake. Anyway.
But then again, I've watched more episodes of Iron Fist than both of those. So.
Oh, my God. Listen, I also make poor life decisions sometimes.
Like starting a podcast. Zach, happy second birthday.
Thank you. Yes, Script Screen just turned 2 years old. It's our bouncing baby boy or girl. I don't know what gender Script Screen is.
Script Screen is non-binary. They do not conform to anything. They exist.
Their pronouns are pod and cast.
And you can find our podcast on anchor.fm/scriptorscreen or on our website www.scriptorscreen.com, on social media, Instagram, Facebook at scriptorscreen. Share the episode, forward it to your friends. If you liked Arcane,
if you have a sister who you have been estranged from because they hit you in a moment of weakness,
oh God,
Rekindle that familial love over this episode of Script or Screen.
Yeah. Maybe you guys, too, can topple the systemic problems in our governments.
Or maybe one of you will become a mass murderer, and it'll all be, you know, like you'll wish what could have been.
Don't want that. This is ending on a very interesting note.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's showbiz, baby. Thank you all for listening, and have the wonderful rest of your days.
Bye.